Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Kitab al-Jihad, the chapter on Jihad, Babu Wujub al-Jihad, the chapter on the necessity of Jihad, wa fadli al-ghadwati wa ruha, and the virtues of a person going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going out in the morning, going out in the evening, the different virtues that are found in the hadith. This word Jihad actually comes from the word Juhd. Juhd means mashakkat, difficulties, exertion, striving. So this is where the word Jihad comes from. And very often in this time and age that we are living in, there is a propaganda against Islam to say that Islam is only promoting violence. But this actually is not the default position of Islam at all. Islam always promotes love, it promotes unity, Islam promotes harmony. The whole idea of Islam is to create peace and harmony. And the whole idea of Islam is to create such a situation where everyone can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't this default position that a person all the time, or people all the time, should be attacking other people? This is a scenario created by the West to create some type of anti-Islamic sentiment. So here we find that in the history of Islam, that the default position was always promote harmony, always promote unity, always promote the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahaba wa in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there was no order and no command at all for jihad. Yet the persecutions were so much, the difficulties were so much, but Sahaba were told, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, that do what you have been commanded to do, and you turn away from these people, you turn away from them, you don't combat them, you don't confront them, you don't fight with them. So for years and years there have been persecution in Islam. So ulama explained that where does this jihad, the concept of jihad, where does it fit in Islam? A very nice example is given, is the example of an amputation that needs to take place on the leg. So sometimes you'll find that this amputation is not the default position of the doctors in the hospital. They will always try to see how they can save the leg. But when that disease, when that sickness is going to become worse, it's going to spread, and now it's going to cause more harm to the body, then a decision at that point is taken that here we need to amputate, because now there is more harm to the greater body that's going to be caused by this foot that is diseased and infected. So at that point the decision is taken now to amputate, to save the greater body. So this is how, where this jihad fits in Islam. Sometimes you'll get a situation when the enemy forces, sometimes you'll get when the forces against Islam are such that they don't want to just contain the practice. They want to affect the Muslims at large. They want to attack Islam at large. So where there's going to be a greater harm to Islam, at that point now Islam has this facility. Like how the hospital has that facility to do that amputation, Islam has this facility to protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from within. So this facility now is where jihad fits in. But jihad also is on different levels. So this facility is such a great and beautiful facility in Islam that there is a way and a method to keep away and ward away the external enemy. And there is also that internal enemy. The internal enemy is nafs and shaitan. So there is also a nafs, there is a jihad against nafs and shaitan. Very often we forget about this type of jihad. So ulama explain about five different types of jihad. The first is jihad bil mal. The person strives لِإِعْلَاءِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. The first and the main thing is to see how that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can always prevail. So the first thing he strives with is jihad bil mal, that wealth that Allah Pak has given him, he strives using that wealth to see that how the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can prevail. Sometimes he may be spending his money on maktabs, sometimes he may be spending his money on orphans, sometimes he may be spending his money on other charitable causes, but ultimately his idea is to see that how the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can prevail. So that is the first type. The second is jihad bil qalam. The person is striving with the pen, using his pen and using articles, like how we see so many different articles are being written, so many different Islamic pamphlets that come out with proper Islamic content. So there are people that are using their minds and using the energy and they're using the pen, and this has been done throughout the ages to see how they can promote Islam. And then you get the next is jihad bin nafs, jihad ma'an nafsi wa shaitan. We have jihad that a person strives against nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan are attacking a person all the time. The attack of nafs and the attacks of shaitan are two different. The style of attacking is different. But from modern days, this enemy that a person cannot ignore, and how we cannot ignore that enemy from without that is attacking Islam and attacking the deen, a person can never ever ignore this enemy from within. This enemy is such a dangerous enemy that many times it causes much more harm than the enemy from without. But yet a person just overlooks that nafs and shaitan, and he's concentrating more on the outside. He's forgetting from within that enemy is destroying him. He's bringing all sorts of difficulty, all sorts of stress, all sorts of depression in his life from within, because the person is not attacking and not dealing with this jihad and striving against this nafs and shaitan. Simple example, the nafs will tell him, now it is too early to read Fajr. Why must I read Fajr? Don't read Fajr. So now he misses his Fajr. So from within, automatically that enemy has told him, and the enemy is telling the Muslims at large to go against their deen. They didn't need any outside force to come close the masjids. They didn't need any outside force to come and block and barricade the masjids. Just from within, that enemy is causing so many people to miss the Fajr Salah. So this is the internal enemy. The next is jihad ma'al fusaq, that to make the jihad and to strive against those people that are Muslims, but within their being Muslims, their ideologies and their thoughts are such that they are creating mischief. Often it happens that with modernistic ideas and with wayward ideas, or ideas that are completely wrong. So here also you need a group of people that tackle these sort of ideas. Some from out of the blue, they'll come with gender equality. That Islam needs, we need gender equality. Women should be allowed to come to the mosque. Women should be inheriting same like the men. So now these are not the kuffar that are attacking Islam. These are own Muslims that are attacking Islam, but they are gone off the course. So then you need a group of people also that dedicate their life and their time to see that these sort of people from within are also taken care of, and they are those article from this kitab, a short part passage from this kitab, will give us a small idea of how much the West has done, how much harm they've done to Islam. In a small example, they just use a small allegation that there's weapons of mass destruction in one country, and years and years and years of Islamic history in that country gets destroyed. The whole country and the sovereignty of a country is taken away. You just have to look at Iraq, you've got to look at Afghanistan, you've got to look at Syria, and then nobody bats an eyelid and say that this is brutality and this is hatred and this is some kind of ill effects of the West. Nobody talks like that. They say, no, these people are doing good. Why? It's just a play of the mindset, a play of the mind, a play of the media. Islam automatically seems to be bad when there's so many millions of poor Muslims being killed all over in Palestine, in Syria, in Libya, you look in Afghanistan, wherever you look, you see Muslims being persecuted. But the way it is branded and the way it is painted, as though we are the people that have come about to bring peace, like the ayat of the Quran explains, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and it is told to them that don't create mischief on earth. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, they say, no, we are not the mischief makers, we are the people that are creating peace. But you look to see what they've been doing and what they are doing, nothing but corruption and mischief on earth they're creating. But they just paint the picture of peace, and the way they do it in such a way that even that innocent Muslim now feels that Islam is a barbaric religion, wa na'uzu billah, by just reading the articles of the West. So therefore it is very important to understand what our deen is promoting, what our deen is teaching, and under which circumstances Islam tells us, now here you have to apply jihad, here you have to apply that amputation, because the greater harm of the Muslims are at stake. Just read the short part that in the kitab, he nicely explains, in comparison to Islamic jihad, the world wars of the European nations were fought to satisfy their lust and greed. In the process, men, women and children were killed indiscriminately. Entire localities were mercilessly wiped out. In World War I, more than 37 million people were wounded and 8.5 million people were killed. In World War II, more than 50 million people were injured. In contrast, in the 23 battles which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in, there was only fighting in 9, and a total of only 1,018 lives were lost. 1,018 lives were lost compared to 8.5 million people that lost their lives in World War I. But yet, it will be made to seem that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba were barbaric. Here you look to see that when they use the media to make us feel that our deen is down, and to make us feel that we don't have anything to look up, this insignificant and this idea that Islam is no, Islam is barbaric. We should know and have in front of us that Islam doesn't promote this sort of thing. Out of, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he participated in a total of 23 battles, and out of that only 9 a fight took place. What it shows, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready to make peace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready to engage the people as far as dialogue is concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person who promoted peace. And in that total, only 1,018 lives were lost. And yet, how many on the other side, in the European, in the desire for lust and greed, etc., how many million people were injured, how many million people were killed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding what this deen is about, and what our religion teaches us. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his first 13 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission was to see that how people could accept Islam. Thousands of people had accepted Islam, despite the fact that they were most bitterly persecuted, let alone fighting an enemy in battle. People like Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, and many others. In fact, Abu Dharr Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi, Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, the Christian of Najran, the Ansar of Medina, all and many others accepted Islam out of their own will. Nobody forced them. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarram, so many people were accepting Islam, nobody had forced them. On their own they had come. So therefore, when people say that Islam has spread through the sword, this is not a true statement. Yes, maybe it has spread with the sword of the kuffar, because the more they tried to attack Islam, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought his deen up. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. That they try to wipe out that flame of Islam. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah says that He will complete this noor of deen. He will complete this noor of Islam. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though the kuffar, they detest it, they don't like it, they hate it, something that they want to completely get rid of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Wallahu mutimmu nurihi. Allah Pak will make sure that his deen is complete, this nur of light, this light of nur and hidayat will prevail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, alhamdulillah.